We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Jed is ready to take over. He deserves this opportunity, and the Cubs are lucky to have him.
Ultimately, my job is to do what I think is the right thing for, you know, the health of this franchise, and I want to make sure that we can build, you know, that next great Cubs team.
Line drive toward right, diving stop, Horner throws to first, he got him! Fantastic play by Nico Horner. Deep drive to left off the bat of Contreras. Get out the tape measure. Long gone.
Knowing and having conversations with Jed, it's very thought out. The process is, you know, one that he takes a lot of pride in. You know, I trust in him and his vision.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. The throw to first base is in time. And the inning is over. What a job by Cody Hoyer.
You know, to get a player like Nick Madrigal, he just really fits what we're trying to do going forward. You know, I was envious of the White Sox to get a player like that.
Into right field. Santander doesn't get there. Nicky, two strikes, give the Sox the lead. It's a triple.
Bernstein and Rahimi, middays, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
I will turn it over to our president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer.
And that's exactly what we are going to do as we break form a little bit to welcome the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer, to the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, hanging in there. So as you embark on constructing the 2022 Chicago Cubs, for what is this team competing?
Well, I mean, I think we just saw, you know, the value of sort of getting in the tournament. You know, I think Atlanta was, you know, widely thought to be the, you know, probably had the lowest odds or the worst odds of any team in the National League that made the playoffs, and they just won the World Series. And so I think, you know, I think the goal has to be to get in the tournament. I think that's the goal every single year. You know, I think we have to try to build a team that can be competitive and can do that. I think that the honest question is, you know, are we at a place like the Dodgers might be right now, where, you know, I think they're fine tuning a World Series roster. You know, we're probably not there right now. I think that's the goal, is to be there in time and get back to that place we were, you know, in 15, 16, 17. But as far as, like, as we construct this team, as we look at free agency, you know, certainly the goal is to construct a team that has a chance to make the playoffs, and that's what we're going to do.
You pick up Wade Miley already addressing some pitching needs. What is the ideal makeup of a starter that you need to help round out your rotation?
Yeah, we still need a bunch more innings, and that's something we'll be really, you know, really focused on as you go through the rest of this offseason. Wade Miley, you know, is a guy that's had a lot of success. You know, two of the last three seasons, the two last full seasons, he's really been excellent. He's a competitor, and he's left-handed, throws a lot of strikes. I will say that we do need to diversify the makeup of our pitching staff. I think we've thrown, you know, so many sinkers, and we've had our velocities, you know, certainly been, you know, the lowest in baseball among the rotation. And, you know, that's not something that we strive for in any way. And so, you know, we'll certainly look to diversify that. But all that said, you know, that the opportunity to grab Wade Miley off waivers and pick up his option was certainly too good to be true. And so we did that. But in general, we're not looking for an entire staff of guys throwing two seamers and throwing, you know, 90 miles an hour. I think we obviously need to diversify that.
with all due respect, we kind of saw that coming. You know, we all sat here and look, if we saw it, I know you saw it, and everybody said the right things about upsetting timing and, you know, different ways to skin a cat, et cetera. But the coin of the realm has been velocity. Didn't we kind of end up where we thought we might end up with that clearly lacking last year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in part, and I would agree with that. You know, I think when we traded Darvish, obviously Darvish was sort of the guy in the rotation that was very unlike that, you know, given the velocity and the stuff he had. And when we traded him and took back Davies, I think some of that was an inevitability. And to your point, like, certainly something we saw coming. You know, we talked about it internally a lot. Like, this isn't the type of staff we're looking to build, but certainly, you know, last year was a, coming off of COVID and moving Darvish, that's sort of something that we wound up with. But obviously, as we build, the next great Cubs team, and as we look forward, we certainly need to add more stuff, more velocity to our rotation. I think that, what Kyle Hendricks does, and to a certain extent what Alex Mills does, is an outlier, and we have to recognize that.
You guys also hired a new hitting coach in Greg Brown. And Jed, I appreciated what you said about the viewpoint of philosophy of hitting changing for the organization and talking about how it's not just approach anymore. Can you expand on that and what you guys needed to see change in how you viewed hitters and lineups and then also the approach therein?
Yeah, I think over the last few years, I think our in the big leagues, I think it's been a lot, very, very approach-driven hitting philosophy, focused on these veteran guys and some focus on, what they can do from a mental standpoint, from an approach standpoint to get better. And I think that, as we move forward with, a younger group of hitters, I do think we need to really focus on the mechanical part of the game. I think Justin Stone, our director of hitting, does a fantastic job of that. In player development in the minor leagues and finding someone similar to him for the big leagues that can really, make sure that we're in total alignment from top to bottom as far as making those mechanical changes. I think from a technological standpoint, we're in a terrific position here, but it's about getting getting that information to everyone in the organization, being able to interpret it and being able to coach players in that way. And so I think that, Greg Brown is a terrific hire that way. He and Justin have gotten to know each other very well over the last few years. Justin being a director of hitting and Greg was a hitting coordinator, for a very progressive Rays organization. And, I feel like that alignment's excellent. And, his background, from being a scout to being a really good college coach to being a hitting coordinator, I like the fact that he has a varied background, and I think that's really going to help us.
Now that we have some distance from last season, I'm looking at the aggregate performance of Patrick Wisdom, Frank Schwindel, and you throw Ortega in there as well. That would take it to about six wins total from Fangraph's purposes from 30-year-old guys. Clearly, this is, you're in a transitional phase here where you don't want to throw out value just because. How do you weight what they did last year, how predictive it is, and how you value it for this year's team and maybe the medium-term future?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think all three guys, played exceptionally well. I think, to a person, when we had exit meetings, everyone talked about how tremendous the energy was, the vibe was with all those guys and the rest of the roster, over the last couple months. Obviously, from a talent standpoint, as a roster, we were shorthanded, but I think we saw some really excellent performances, and I think that those guys had opportunity. And in a lot of ways, I do think that's something that we haven't had over the last few years. We had a roster that was really stable. We didn't have a lot of ability to bring in guys like that and really give them that playing time. And I think what we saw going back to, like 2013 and 14, like the ability to give guys like that opportunities is tremendous. And you can find hidden gems and uncover a lot of value when you do that. Off the top of my head, like thinking about obviously in the pitching rotation, we had a number of guys like that, but like Luis Valbuena as an example of a guy that you could make a trade for and give every day at bats. And so I don't know exactly what the role will be for each of those players. I think we very much are up in the air on a lot of positions on the roster, but I think all those guys will play an important role. And I think for me, looking at our roster, I think that we have to provide a lot of depth and give David Ross a lot of options. And I think there's no question that each of those guys you mentioned will be part of that solution. Exactly what percentage that is, I'm not entirely sure, but I know those guys are all, you know, good big league players. I think they prove themselves, and they're definitely part of the roster. I'm just not sure exactly, you know, what role each guy will play.
In hiring guys like Greg Brown and Ehsan Boukkari and Carter Hawkins, these are people from the Rays organization. Boukkari has experience with the Dodgers and with the Astros, and then Hawkins with Cleveland, who's clearly known for developing pitching as an organization. It seems like you wanted to get different perspectives and different backgrounds in as an acknowledgement that there needed to be a different groupthink going on. What was your philosophy behind getting people in from these different teams?
Well, you kind of touched on it. I mean, I think, well, first of all, I think each of the people that we've hired is really talented. You know, take away where they've come from. I think they're really good teammates. They're really bright. They have really good ideas. But I think bringing people in with different perspectives was something that I really wanted to focus on. As we sort of changed over the executive team to a certain extent and the coaching staff to a certain extent. And, you know, listen, I'm exceptionally proud of what we built here. You know, I think we came in here at the end of 2011 and, you know, we built up something really special. Like, we changed the perception of what it is to be the Cubs. But I think, you know, when I, you know, took over for Theo, you know, I think that sort of allowed an opportunity to make some of those changes. And I think, you know, bringing in those new ideas and you know, challenging ourselves. I think that, you know, just like our major league roster, I think we had a lot of stability. And I think continuity in this game is so incredibly valuable. When your front office is, you know, turning over constantly, it's really hard to, you know, to be successful. But I think we had a pretty incredible opportunity to have a lot of continuity with me taking over for Theo. But then how could I also, you know, challenge us and bring in new ideas? And I think, you know, hiring Carter, hiring Ehsan, you know, hiring, you know, guys like Greg Brown, you know, throughout the organization, we've hired people from outside the organization. And I think we can challenge ourselves and bring in new ideas. We can only get better. So, you know, continuity is great. You look at the best organizations in baseball, they all have continuity. But if we can, you know, create some new ideas here and figure out ways to do things differently, that has a tremendous amount of value as well.
Kenny Williams, Jed, had some really pointed statements following the GM meetings, talking about the lack of diversity that we're seeing in Major League Baseball. Theo has spoken on it as well. And when Kenny points out the idea of, would you feel comfortable in a room knowing that you might be one of the only ones? We see only 4 people of color as executives in Major League Baseball at the GM or president level. How did that resonate with you, and what were your impressions knowing you guys just made a GM hire too?
Yeah, no, I thought Kenny's words, I think his thoughts were spot on. And really powerful, you know, coming from him and the way he phrased things. I thought, you know, I think everyone in the room, the sort of rapt attention, you could hear a pin drop. And he's 100% right. You know, I think you look around the room and it is very similar backgrounds. And I think that's something that we have to actively work on. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot internally, you know, as we go through each search, you know, how we change our hiring processes. You know, I think that I think it's a challenge that we all have to undertake. And I think that, you know, the hope has to be, you know, this is not going to be the kind of change that, you know, next year you're not going to look in that room. It's going to be completely different. But, you know, my hope is, you know, over the next, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years that room changes completely. And it should. It should look a lot more like Major League Baseball looks. And it doesn't right now. You know, the on-field product and the front office product the people working in the front office, it looks different, and we need to change that. And Kenny's 100% right that it is time for that change. I think we've talked about it a lot, but it hasn't come yet. And you know, what I always, you know, talk about is, and I think we've done a really good job of this here over the last few years, is I think you have to start, you know, you have to start that at the grassroots level, really focus on finding diverse perspectives, you know, during the hiring process. Because when you look around that room, almost every person in that room came up as an intern. They started at the bottom level as an intern, and they worked their way up rung by rung. And that's just, you know, it's hard to find a lot of people that didn't play in the big leagues among the executives that didn't come up that way. So, you know, with that, I think we have to really, you know, focus our lower level hiring on finding those diverse perspectives and allowing those employees to grow up through the ranks. And I think when we do that, I think we're going to see a tremendous change. So I'm really glad Kenny said that. I thought it was a really impressive moment. And I think for everyone that was in the room, that will be the moment they take away from those GM meetings as the most powerful. And he's right. And, you know, we all have to do a better job, the Cubs included. And I think like I said, we've done a lot of really, you know, good things in this regard over the last year, but we can all be better, and we'll all, you know, continue to strive to be better.
Our guest on Bernstein Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score is Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer. Jed, are you going about your business right now expecting that there will be a lockout of some duration?
No, I mean, I don't, there's no real value in doing that. So, you know, to me, we're trying to act like it's business as usual, you know, trying to, you know, make sure we're in contact with all the teams we think we have fits with, making sure we're in contact with all the agents that we think we fit with. And, you know, I think that, you know, certainly our hope is that we resolve something. You know, in my time in baseball, there's always been a resolution, you know, so that's certainly the hope, and that we just keep going through December. So, yeah, we're sort of operating as business as usual. Obviously, there's, you know, you can read the papers and hear the comments and whatnot, but like I said, it doesn't really help us to view anything that way. We'll just continue to operate as though we'll be working through December, and we'll contact teams and agents accordingly.
And then, as a matter of customer service, on behalf of all the fans yelling Seager and Correa and the free agent class that there is, what do you tell them about what the Cubs want to do this offseason to get closer to getting back to the big name free agents and getting back to the standard that you've built?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this quite a bit. You know, I think we have resources to spend this winter. We certainly will spend this winter, but, you know, we want to do it in the most intelligent fashion possible. I think free agency presents itself with a lot of opportunity to bring in talent. It also presents tremendous risk because, you know, when you're talking about, you know, really long deals, when you're talking about, you know, players that are, you know, on the wrong side of the aging curve, I think that's why free agency does present risk. So we'll certainly, you know, like I said at the beginning of this interview, I think, you know, our goal certainly is to be competitive next year, to try to do everything we can to get into the tournament. But we do want to spend intelligently and realize that, you know, like I said, there's opportunity in free agency, but there's also risk, and let's weigh those things the right way.
What is most different around your offices under your leadership as opposed to Theo's?
I don't know. I'd probably have to ask someone else, not asking me, but, you know, I think I'd probably almost go back to what we talked about earlier with sort of some of the new voices that, you know, we had a very stable office, you know, for a long time. I think that, you know, that's probably the biggest difference is, you know, we had nine years or almost 10 years, I guess, of, you know, very similar executives. And I think, like I said, I think I couldn't be more proud of what we accomplished. I think the biggest difference is I've tried to, you know, as some of that is turned over, I've tried to bring in new voices from different organizations and new perspectives. And I'd say that's probably the biggest difference. You know, it's, to be honest with you, you know, we're only now sort of getting back to having it feel normal. You know, the office is reopened for, you know, completely on October 4th, I think was the day it opened. And so, you know, getting everyone back in the office, it finally feels like we're getting there. You know, I know the world isn't back to normal, but like having everyone in the office is a fairly new thing for us. You know, over the course of the summer, it was still a lot of Zooms, and the people that had game day responsibilities were here, but a lot of people were still working from home. So I think we're still getting back in that, you know, getting into that swing of things of being together. But I'd say that's the biggest difference is, you know, we have a lot of new voices and a lot of new perspectives, and I'm trying to, to cultivate that as much as possible. And, you know, I think Theo did that at the beginning when we got here, and I'm trying to do the same thing as I start my, you know, my tenure.
What's this about a road trip and you guys having to drive from Arizona to Carlsbad and shotgun duties out of your new GM? The story has spread.
I know. I know. It shows you we don't have a lot of news right now, I don't think. But, yeah, I know. So we flew to Arizona, four of us flew to Arizona to watch the Fall League on Monday, because Monday was arbitration meetings, and the people that didn't have responsibility in those meetings flew to Arizona, and Caleb Killian and Jensen were pitching in that game. So we thought it'd be fun to go watch those guys. So while we were at the game, I think someone backed into a transformer at the airport and knocked out two of the terminals. And so our flights got canceled, and we weren't going to get it, probably be able to get in until sometime the next day. And so we thought that was unacceptable. So we just rented a car and made the drive. And I'd done that drive a number of times when I was with the Padres, so I knew it wasn't such a big deal. And so we actually had a lot of fun with it. We drove, I think it took us like 6 hours, and it was good with Carter and Essen in the car. It was sort of good, you know, team bonding, team building. And we, like I said, we made the most of it. It wasn't too long a drive, but it was necessary to get to the meetings. And like I said, we had fun.
Jed Hoyer, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to talking again soon.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Jed.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.